get into the chapter in The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of the book written by A.E. Nock, before we get to the chapter in that book called The Golden Cup, I need to establish a fact with you, because what I'm going to say concerning this section and what A.E. Nock is going to say concerning this section will shock many people. It will seem anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. It's not. I love all people, even Christians. Yeah, it's tough, but I do love Christians, most of them. And so I will establish something today with you concerning Jewish control of the entertainment industry of the world. And I'm going to tell you why this plays such an important role in the end times. I'll give you a hint. We have become a nation of dull, flat, ignorant, gullible people. There are some noble exceptions. You, my listeners, are notable and noble exceptions. But the world on the whole, it's not your imagination, has been made insipid. Another word for insipid is stupid. This has been done by the entertainment industry and the news industry and the music industry. And I'm not even going to make the claim that it's been done purposely. It's been done for profit, but I'm going to look at the results only. Now, for this, we're going to have to back up a little bit to be the beginning of chapter 17 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, as written by John the Apostle. And here it is, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. And one from among the seven messengers who have the seven bowls came, and he talks with me, saying, "Hither I shall be showing you the sentence of the great prostitute who is sitting on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth commit prostitution, and those dwelling in the earth are made drunk with the wine of her prostitution." Drunk with the wine of her prostitution. That's a key verse here. Let me read it again. "I will show you the sentence of the great prostitute who is sitting on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth commit prostitution." I want to hit something with that sitting again. Listen to the sitting again. Remember, I told you that it's the proximity of the harlot to the beast, which is the illicit part of this, and she is sitting. This could mean two things. You could think of it in a sexual context. Let's not start any sexual contests. Think of it in a sexual context, which you should. You ought to think of this in a sexual context, because that is why a prostitute is used in the imagery. This is why John saw a prostitute and say, not a Girl Scout or a suffragette of the 19 whatevers. Or we're not looking at, a secretary at IBM. We're looking at a prostitute. This is because the things she does to this world are intoxicating. And so that is one aspect of her sitting. Another aspect is that she is astride. Okay, well, that kind of ties back to the other one. Let me see. Let me think of another word. Forget astride. Drive the word sitting astride from your mind. She is the one controlling. Woman on top here, she's the one controlling the beast, because she has influence over the beast. Remember, she's king over the kings. The kings are under the control of the dissolute woman. All right, now let's go to verse 2. "And he carries me away in spirit into a wilderness, and I perceived a woman sitting on a scarlet wild beast, replete with blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns." This is a religious entity. We're in the worship section of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at what people worship today, why they worship it. Worship, don't get unduly alarmed by that term. On the other hand, do get duly alarmed, because it is a fawning devotion, a dog-like fawning devotion to anything. Worship is not necessarily a word that needs to belong in the spiritual realm. You can worship, a woman can worship the mall. Somebody can worship clothes or shoes. It's just a dog-like fawning. Jesus himself used the word to describe a debtor who was fearful that his master would throw him in jail, and he worships the master, Jesus said. It's just a dog-like fawning. He probably got down on his knees. It's like, please don't throw me in jail. Okay, that's it. It's as simple as that. It's a strong devotion. It's a generic word. Could refer to the mall. Could refer to God. Just like love can refer to God, the mall, hot dogs, your children, your cat. Love. Love. Worship the same way. So the world worships something other besides God. For the world worships their own pleasure, their own satisfaction. And certain people in certain industries, let's say the entertainment industry, know how to take advantage of that. And they make money because there's a need. Most people, they start businesses because there's a need in the marketplace. So people have a need, a deep need nowadays for amusements. Remember, amusement, to not think, to not think. Why? One reason is based on the chart I showed you earlier, the charts from the book Margin by Dr. Swenson, is because there is such a abundance of evil in this world, and there's such an abundance of gloom, an abundance of pessimism, and trying to kill God, trying to eliminate God. Christianity has done very much to further that, not hinder it, but further it with their doctrines of eternal torment. So people are driven to despair. Some people drink, some people smoke, some people have sex, other people just sit around and watch television. And this has contributed, and this is another huge change that started in the 1950s. When I was a kid, we had a black and white television. I was born in 1959, started watching television in 1959. No, I didn't. I was born in October of 59, and I probably didn't start watching television until 61 or something, when I was old enough to sit up and open my little beady Zender eyes. And what to my wandering gaze should appear but black and white images jumping around like crazy and intoxicating my imagination. Don't feel bad. This stuff is purposely hypnotic, and it has driven this generation into numbness, into not thinking. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll mention this, that I bought a book 30 years ago called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. And I believe that book was written by a man named Jerry Mander. I should look that up. But look up the book. I'm sure you could still find it on Amazon. It caused me to take out the television from my house. When my kids were young, we had no television. Oh, Martin, that's terrible. How could you do that to your poor kids? You raised them and they were just mind-numbed robots because they didn't know anything about society. Well, no, it's plugging them into society that makes them mind-numbed robots. We read classic literature to them, okay? And we took them into the world. We didn't live in a cave. We weren't Amish. For the love, come on, stop that. It's not true. We weren't Amish at all. And I kept a television on hand with a little VHS port there so we could show movies. We could watch movies. I was in control of that. Oh, you're such a dictator, Martin. No, one of my charges as a parent was to protect my children, to love and protect my wife, protect my house. And I did. I protected them from evil influences. When they're older, sure, you throw them to the lions. But by that time, you have to. But by that time, you've protected them, you've taught them right things. What are you supposed to do? Their mind has to go somewhere, the kid's mind. Everybody's mind's going to go somewhere, so why not direct it? As a parent, that's your job. I'm not of this liberal mentality, live and let live, Martin, you know, and just let them do what they want. Well, they wanted to eat sweet tarts for breakfast. Was I supposed to let them do that? Is that what you want me to do? You should have let them eat sweet tarts. They probably grew up to be criminals. No, they didn't. All three of my sons grew up to be upstanding, responsible adults. And I love them, and they love me. And you could talk to any one of them and see that I did one hell of a job raising them. Not just me, but my wife too. Did a hell of a job. And one of the important parts of doing a hell of a job was to keep them from the influence of the world. I mean, the influence from the world, not just the influence of the world, because even believers, you know, people in Paul's day had influence of the world. No one can escape the influence of the world. But I'm talking about an influence that began in the 1950s, on the cusp of the 50s and the 60s, that brought that influence into the home and into the mind in a way that was never before seen, never before dreamed or imagined. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul coming back today, coming in cold into our age, and seeing a television, seeing an image on a screen of people moving? I mean, his mind would be blown. We're just not shocked by it anymore. But if you get away from it for a while, if you go to a mountain, if you go away to a cabin in the woods, who can do that nowadays? Go to the seaside and get away from technology, get away from culture, what they call culture, and get away from it, and then maybe 6 months, do a Henry David Thoreau, go to Walden Pond, there's probably a shopping mall there now, you know, and then come back into the world and see what you think of it. And I think that you'll be shocked after the distance, you'll be shocked at what you find, and you're coming from having known it. Imagine someone coming from not knowing what's happening at all. And I contend to you, and so does Scripture, and so does Mr. A.E. Nock, so do all the charts. I contend to you that something so bizarre is happening and has happened to this world to make the inhabitants of this world not able to reason anymore, not able to think critically, not able to think logically. It has made them emotional. It's not just entertainment industry. It's the sugar industry, it's the candy industry, all these things, the food industry, all the pesticides that go into our food. But it is all combined to make an entire generation stupid. And it's the rare person that can even read a classic that my kids were reading at the age of 10. Classic literature. Hemingway, Twain, you name them. Herman Melville, James Whitcomb Riley, the poems thereof, Robert Frost, Robert Burns, classic literature. Kids can't read this stuff today. They can't sit still long enough. And it's not because they have some DNA problem that makes them jumpy and full of ticks. No, it's because they're fed constantly by the intoxicant of Babylon. Babylon means confusion. People are confused as hell today. And it's only getting worse, and it's getting worse exponentially. Let me finish this passage, and then the show's going to close here. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, brimming with the abominations and uncleannesses of the prostitution of her and the earth. And on the forehead is written a name, secret, Babylon the Great, the mother of the prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. And I perceived a woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And this same spirit that was responsible for the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses of Jesus has taken a new turn. This evil spirit has changed its tactics, just like Satan has changed his tactics. Before, with Job, it was a frontal attack. Take his health, take his kids, just afflict the guy. And what did he do? He turned to God. He said, God, I heard of you. Now I see you. So Satan changes his tactics. Now he's disguised as a messenger of light. Light. You know what that word is in the Greek? Phos. You know what the main ingredient of televisions is? Phosphorus. It's light. It's light moving at a rapid pace, and it's seductive, and it's hypnotic, and it's not only television. It's movies, obviously, and it's music, and it's video games. And the earth has been prepared to be taken over by an emotional, influential, strong person. Because when you've broken the will of an entire culture, they become ready for anything. And they can accept the unacceptable. What was two or three generations ago unlikely and impossible and repulsive will be taken in with happiness, with joy, by people who can cannot think anymore. This is scary. And it's coming to a theater near you, namely the Earth.